My name is Mark Rubin, and I'm a dream weaver. I hope these widgets help you weave your dreams into reality. This is a story about bee wisdom that I learned from watching bees in my backyard. And at this point, I told a couple stories about what I learned from the bees, that sugar was energy, and that later, time is honey. I was watching them, these bees in my backyard in a beehive, come and go. And I was comparing the bee behaviors at a very narrow level to human behaviors based on my understanding of life, of different models I have of everything I know. I kept reorganizing the models in the order that I thought made sense in terms of what the bees were doing. And the order matched the order that human beings operate at in terms of nature. As I was sitting there, I was thinking through the sequence of what I was observing and the models that matched. And the first series of models was about physics, which is about energy and time. And the next set of models was about biology, which is converting that energy into work through different ways. And then the next set of models was about psychology, which is about decision-making and teamwork, which is an optimization. And what the bees are trying to do is optimize the rate of energy collection, the rate of energy storage, and the size of their population, so that they have so much energy in their hive, they have to swarm, which is a way to clone their DNA and move to a new habitat, which is the optimal scenario. And this setup is like a franchise, where a franchise goes into an environment. And if it does well and thrives, it'll get so big that it'll be possible to split it up into two or four or six and then move to a new habitat down the road and gather money from those customers and keep going, keep advancing through a country, the world, a habitat, and expand and gather energy, which is money, and clone the DNA, which is culture, and keep going. And I was thinking about this, like in terms of the business that I have, which is a franchise business, junk removal business. And I was thinking of psychology, which is around the way that bees operate together in this like cooperative environment inside the hive and outside the hive, and how things like specialization and, you know, different aspects of working together in this collaborative way to maximize the team success. And I was comparing that to things in business, about planning together, working together, having a brand together, feeling proud together. I thought that was cool. And then I got to economics, which is about the transfer of energy in the larger habitat, not just a beehive or an individual bee, but like the broader picture, the trading. And the bees are doing work to trade genetic material, which creates more flowers. So if they're successful at that, they can have more energy later, which is an advantage. That's economics. The next doesn't exactly exist in the bee world, but it does a little bit, which is anthropology, because that's really a sort of cross-hive idea. But sometimes a bee will go into the wrong hive, a different bee hive. And sometimes that'll result in a share of genetic information. And sometimes, often, a queen bee will mate with bees from other hives and bring that DNA back. A queen bee will mate with multiple male bees and have a mix of genetic information in the fertilized eggs that she lays. And that is a way to take like the best of all worlds. These male bees that are buzzing around at the right time can fertilize a queen bee. And that means those male bees won some kind of competitive game. They're there. They're alive. They're flying around. They're looking for a queen. So that's an advantage from an anthropological perspective. The last concept I was thinking of was related to futurology, which is about the future. And I was thinking about a queen bee's lifespan. A queen bee lives the equivalent of 20 worker bee lifespans, which is the equivalent of living 1,500 years for a human. And the scenario that is comparable, if you scale it to human terms, would be if you could never leave your house, and the only way you got money is if your genetic daughters did work for 60 days per year, which is about the number of days the flowers are out where I live. And the only way you could survive is if you made decisions about the rate of reproduction so that you had the right number of genetic daughters at the right time when there was energy in your environment, when there was money to be had in your environment. But the decision-making life cycle would be longer, that people would plan years in advance for this to work. I call that playing the long game. And I was thinking that it would be a better world if people planned further ahead like that, multiple generations. So a queen bee is planning for the survival of 20 worker bee, female worker bee, and male drone bee lifespans. The only way she lives is if they live. Because if the worker bees don't gather the energy in her habitat, she'll die. They won't keep her warm in the winter and she'll die. And I was thinking this idea about futurology. And this wisdom applies to humans. This is the game we're playing. We're playing the same game as the bees, the same, except we tokenize work with money and they tokenize work with honey. One of the differences is that their model is regenerative, which means the work the bees are doing that they're trading for this energy is to spread the DNA of the flowers that are providing them with energy. And that's an additive process, which is regenerative. And what humans do is dissipative, which is we extract more than we put back. And this got me thinking about how I could become carbon negative and undo my lifetime carbon footprint. And what could I do with these ideas so that when I die, I will have done something good. And I learned this from watching the bees in my backyard.